You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strohman. Today, our guest is no stranger to the Triangle area. He is born and raised in North Carolina, and he is a wonderful man, father, husband, and a former NFL running back and UNC football star, Sean Drawn. Welcome to the show, Sean.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
So let's start off with the background of your journey. Now, we definitely share a bond through our love for sports and our faith in God. You were born in the Tar Heel State in Tarboro, North Carolina. Tell us where it all started and if you ever saw yourself as a professional football player.
It started from an early age with, of course, the family being football fans and watching every Sunday. And I actually grew up a Cowboys fan. I was a big Cowboys fan back in the day, but that slowly drifted away once I got in the league. But that's when my love for it started. I was watching Emmitt Smith, Deion Sanders, and Michael Irvin, Troy Aikman, and all those guys, go to Super Bowls. And then I actually started playing football in the fourth grade. So I started very early. I had two older cousins that I looked up to, and they played. They were twin cousins, and they played. And eventually, once I got old enough, I played on the same team they played on. So that's where it all started for me.
Okay. Now, did you have any particular teachers or mentors that influenced your career?
I would say that my dad was actually a big part in that. I mean, he didn't play football, any higher than high school, but he was definitely like that one that always pushed me to be who I am, be my own man.
And your parents are ministers.
Yep, my dad's a pastor, and my mom's a co-pastor. He's been pastoring for, I think, 22 years or 23 years. He's been a minister for a while. So they definitely had a big part of playing. And then once I got to college, Kelvin Bryant was my mentor. He's from Tarboro and former Tar Heel. So he played a big part in, just mentoring me through college.
That's great. I think Kelvin, isn't he still in the Charlotte area?
No, he's actually in Tarboro.
Oh, he's back in Tarboro. Okay, excellent.
Yeah, his daughter actually just won the state championship for 1AA in tennis.
Wow. That's great athleticism coming out of Tarboro. We have to pay more attention to that town. Is it the water, something y'all are eating?
Yeah, we got a little secret potion we put in the water that nobody know about.
Okay. We'll
try to keep it a secret, though.
So what other sports did you play? And it looks like you were pretty very versatile as a football player. You were quarterback, defensive back, linebacker, also besides running the ball. But besides football, did you play any other sports?
Yeah, I ran track. I didn't take it serious, but our program wasn't that good. So we ran just to kind of stay in shape. And then I played basketball. I played 3 years. My junior year, once I committed to Carolina, I stopped playing basketball. But those are the other two sports I played.
Now, I've seen and felt football players on the basketball court. So you're telling me that you're a real baller. You're not one of those football players out there stumbling and hurting people.
I was a little bit of both.
Okay.
I was like 5'9" at the time, 5'10", playing down in the post. But the only reason I was in the post is I could get physical with the big boys, and my coach knew that. But then I played point guard, so it was like a totally different end of the spectrum, But I was kind of an overall player, Okay. I was just an athlete.
Right. The enforcer. So while playing for the Tar Heels, did you have a favorite ACC team that you like to play against?
I don't know what favorite, but I love to play NC State because I hated them and still do. And I don't know, they were always the the cocky team. I mean, you know, Duke is a rival, but I think NC State is more the rival in football.
Yes.
And, you know, they were the ones I always looked forward to playing. And, you know, back then, you know, I had a little attitude. I was always definitely looking to get a little chippy with them in that game. So I would say they were my favorite team to play.
Well, definitely understandable. I know that NC State, during football time, I think that is our big rival, even though they're a natural rival for everything, but definitely in football. So
Right, definitely. You've
had a number of years in the NFL that goes to your discipline with your body, with your mind, to be able to survive, to be thought of so that other teams, when they know they needed a player, they would call on Sean Drawn. So what advice would you give young people who are out there working hard, trying to be that person in the NFL one day? What would you tell them based on your experience in the league?
Well, not to be on the negative side, but I would tell them don't count on it. But also, if that's what your heart desires, if that's what, you know, you feel like you want to do, then the work you have to put in for it is, you know, the first and foremost. I don't think, you know, anything that I've had, you know, has come easy. And, you know, that makes you appreciate it more. But, you know, in my situation, I wasn't drafted. You know, even in college, I started out at safety and then went back over to the offensive side of the ball and worked my way up to become a starter. And, you know, through all of that, you know, I would say, you know, just putting the work in because, you know, as I've grown in my faith and, you know, just as a man, I know that faith without works is dead. You know, you want all you want to, and, you know, you desire things, but if you're not putting in the work and, you know, giving God something to work with, then, you know, all those desires are all for naught. So, you know, I would definitely say, you know, to put the work in and, you know, stay faithful and stay patient, and that, you know, ebbs and flows come with football or any sport for that matter, but especially in the NFL, you know, some guys that aren't drafted like myself are, you know, kind of low on the totem pole when it comes to, you know, being picked over, you know, a draft pick or, you know, an established guy in the NFL. So, you know, you just got to work that much more harder than the next man. So, you know, just continue to work. And, you know, just know that hard work beats talent when talent don't work hard.
Those are great comments, Sean. We appreciate your being here. If You Only Knew, with Dr. Debbie Stroman. You're back with Dr. Debbie Stroman. You're listening to If You Only Knew. We have a special guest, Mr. Sean Drawn, former UNC and NFL football running back star. Let's talk about what you've gone through if you had to start all over again from high school and college. But what you've learned, is there anything you would do differently knowing what you know now?
What I would do different. As far as, like, I would, you know, go to the academic side. You know, just being a student athlete, you know, you become a little naive because, you know, you watch, you know, the NFL, you watch college, and you don't see what, you know, it took to actually get there. And academics is a part of that. You know, in high school, I started out and went to I was going to class and, you know, just doing the minimum. And then, you know, I look up and now I'm a junior trying to get into college, going through, you know, clearinghouse and all those things I didn't know about, you know, as far as having a good GPA and, you know, taking the SAT. I didn't know any of those things. I just, you know, just knew for a fact that I knew I was good at football, so I knew somebody was going to pick me up. But, you know, just being naive and, you know, not knowing those things, I would definitely be more into my academics as much as, you know, a lot of people don't like academics. I would say, you know, picking up on the academics and being more involved would be, you know, the advice I can give in high school and in college. Because when I got to college, you know, once I got in, we have academic support, which is great. I think every, you know, athletic department needs that. But I feel, you know, like I wasn't involved in, you know, the choices that I made as far as, you know, the class I took toward my major and making sure that I actually graduated by the time I was a senior in college. You know, I think I would be more involved in that and, you know, take a look at stuff other than football. You know, after life, there's life after football. So, you know, after that, you still have to live and, you know, make a living for yourself. And so my advice would be more involved in, you know, academics and, you know, really being in tune to what it is that you want to do after football. I mean, everybody's not, you know, blessed to, you know, make the big bucks, you know, in the league, and they still have to live and make a living after football. So my advice would be, you know, definitely be involved in your academics and, you know, be serious about it.
Well, that's a very good point. Yes, that's a very good point. So many times we see highly, highly skilled athletes in high school and college where they're just going through the motions. And then, of course, the sport program, their coach is their father away from home or their mother away from home. And there's so much involved in playing NCAA Division I sports. So you're trying to manage your time. You're trying to manage your practice, your film work, your athletic training, trying to understand the relationships on the team. What can people do to help athletes focus more? Should we try to take more time away from their sport or just try to work more on the weekends or in the off season? How can we try to make athletes realize that the sport will be over while you're still young?
Yeah, you know what? That's a great question, and I've never really thought about it, you know, but you sparked something. But I think, you know, just doing, like, small seminars other than having people come in and, you know, do these motivational speeches about, you know, being great athletes, being winners, champions, which is, you know, that's great, and I think that's a part of – that's just a small piece of what, you know, a student-athlete needs, but – there's a whole nother piece, you know, to life other than, you know, football and basketball, whatever sport you have. I think that people should maybe bring in people that are, you know, in the working field and doing things other than, you know, living off the money that they made in professional sports or what have you. So I think just having little seminars, you know, with their team to have people come in and do workshops, you know, trade shows or, you know, things like that. I mean, I think that would be a great way to, you know, kind of get them to think forward, you know, as opposed to thinking in the now.
Well, that's great advice. In fact, I've thought about that as well. So it's another reason why I'm happy you're back in the area, because we're going to talk and do some of those things to help young people. So there is no doubt that many Americans appear to be confusing Colin Kaepernick's peaceful protests and other athletes besides Colin, the protests against racism and police brutality with a lack of respect for our country. What are your thoughts on all of this? Definitely it's gained lots and lots of attention around the world.
Right. Yeah. I mean, hats off to Colin, first of all, because, you know, without him, this issue would still, you know, kind of be swept under the rug.
Yes.
And I think that's what they're, you know, that's what they do. I mean, that's what government does. They, you know, direct your attention towards something else as opposed to really taking on the issue at hand and, you know, facing it and admitting that, you know, there is a problem in our society. And, you know, I think that he has done a great job in not only protesting, but putting, you know, his money where his mouth is, so to speak. And, you know, he's out here doing Know Your Rights camps and, you know, making sure that these people are aware of their rights. And, you know, the thing, and that's the catch-22, I guess you could call it, you know, with them is, you know, they're trying to take away his right of free speech, which is exactly what, you know, they've been fighting for, which, you know, when talking with people like that, you know, it's kind of like you're talking to a wall sometimes because they just have a bias. You know what I mean? There's a bias to where, you know, they can't put themselves in our shoes. They can't put themselves in a black man's shoes getting stopped by the police because they haven't been there. They're not experiencing, you know, this type of brutality towards their race or, you know, ethnicity or what have you. I mean, you just can't make them understand that. So from that perspective, I understand that, you know, some people just don't get it. They just won't get it.
That's
but some
right.
people that do get it, they just refuse to look at the issue and, you know, make it what it is.
Well, that's definitely, you know, well stated. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying with that is, you know, it just comes from my perspective. I think that's just a lack of, not a lack, but, you know, we just need to spread more love. That's really what it comes down to. It's a condition of the heart. I mean, people, you know, have hate in their heart. That's and it's rooted deep, you know, it's learned, you know, and, you know, that's just my take on it.
Well, that sounds like the preacher's kid speaking there, going right to your faith and to your heart. I often say that this is really, really fed upon fear, and we need to have more of a love movement in this space. Racism has
Absolutely.
Troubled America since its inception, and we still haven't moved yep. to a place where we can really embrace and celebrate one another.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
So what would you advise college players today to do in the middle of all this political and social tension in the country? Is there a way that they can get more engaged and stay informed?
You know, I didn't know how to, you know, react on it on my own, because even during the protest while, you know, I was on the team with Colin and they were kneeling, it made me look at, you know, okay, what are my rights? You know, I don't know my rights like I should. And it made me look at, you know, it just made me more aware. So, you know, my advice would be to just be aware of your rights, be, you know, I guess a little more versed in, you know, what it is that's going on in the world, and not just, you know, live in a bubble, live on Snapchat and your Instagram, and, you know, and really get out and, you know, I think make a change for what you stand for. I mean, you can, you know, join a protest or whatever, but I think it really, again, comes down to what you believe in and, you know, how you can affect and provoke change in the world.
Sean, let's pause right there. We're going to pick this up after the break. We're back with Mr. Sean Drawn, former NFL and UNC running back and business owner. So, Sean, right before the break, you were telling us more about your ventures into real estate. So tell us more about exactly what you're doing here in the Triangle area.
So we're rehabbers and developers. We take ugly, rundown houses, things that, you know, people don't want or they have inherited, you know, and things that are not up to market. And we take them and make them look pretty, and then we sell them to them.
Excellent. Well, that's very simple. Sounds like a concept
yep.
that people have used over the years to amass their wealth. So we'll definitely look for you in not only in sports. You've done that. You've accomplished there. You've conquered. Now you can move into real estate and other things. So
yep.
when it's all over and you're sitting in your rocking chair watching your favorite team play, if you reflect back on your career, what do you want people to remember you for?
I want them to remember Sean Drone as the one who never quit, one who, even though, you know, went through some adversity and, you know, my goal to become an NFL player and, you know, and accomplish those things, my dreams, someone who never quit and someone who used this platform to spread love and my faith in God and to, you know, give back to those who, you know, maybe aspiring to do the same thing or, you know, not even, you know, really do the same thing in football, but, you know, just be successful in life. And I want to be that one to, you know, be known as someone who spread that wealth.
Well, you've certainly done that well. You have lots of fans here in the state of North Carolina and all the different NFL teams and cities that you played in. We're glad to have you back in the Triangle. And I know many Tar Heel fans will be surprised. They'll probably do a double take and say, is that him? But, you know, you're going to be really, really active in this community. And I know you have a wonderful family. So I just appreciate your taking the time to chat with the Tar Heel Nation on WCHL.
Absolutely. Go Tar Heels.
Thanks again for spending time today, Mr. Sean Drone, entrepreneur and former NFL running back.